How does a person introduce Jay Calder? Some of you probably have no idea who he is. How many of you have no idea who he is? Some of you, okay. Jay Calder was a pastor in the missionary church for 9 years, some of the time in Kitchener and most of the time in Lindsay. He has 4 children. One of them is married to Tim Clayton, who's a pastor in our denomination, so some of you may know that connection. Others of you may know him as a guitarist, and he's become quite famous as a guitarist. He's toured with Casting Crowns, Avalon. Some of you who are a little older, do you know the name Guy Penrod from the Gaithers? And some of you know the Newsboys and Phil Kagi. So Jay has been able to be on tour with a number of these musicians, Canadians and others that love the Lord and are involved in serving and bringing glory to God. Over the many years, I think he also traveled for a while with Phil Calloway, who is very, very funny and talks about love and marriage and so on, and sometimes does that in February. And I think the last time my wife and I actually saw Jay, he was at Richmond Hill Pentecostal with Phil Calloway and a group from Compassion. So Jay's coming and he's going to share with us probably about compassion, probably what the Lord has laid on his heart, and probably from his guitar as well. So we're looking forward to Jay being with us today.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Barry. I appreciate it. Yeah, I've known Pastor Barry for a long time as well. Yeah, Phil Calloway and I that wasn't mentioned, I guess, on the bio they sent you. We've done more than 130 events together now. So isn't that something? My wife reminded me yesterday that this, she would be so upset if I, anyway, she's not here. So I can tell you this, that this shirt, I wore this shirt the first time I met Phil. So this shirt doesn't owe me anything. Anyway, so honestly, it's so great to be with you, to see so many friends from years back. Bless you. Bless you. Amen. Thank you. Thanks. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me to Matthew 18? Time later, I'll play something else, but I'm not sure that there will be today, but that's okay. It's all good. It'll take me a little while to get to Matthew 18, but we will eventually arrive there. I need to just dive in this morning, and I hope that's all right. In Matthew 25, on our way to Matthew 18, Jesus talks about a group of people whom I'm imagining that most of you would have heard of. He calls them the least of these. Does that ring a bell with anyone? For our purposes this morning, and I know this is not a complete definition, but it will do for what we're talking about today, the least of these means someone who can't pay me back. All right? Just at its simplest. And Matthew 25, that's where Jesus says, he says to me, he says, Jay, and you can insert your name there, there's actually going to come a day in history. So this is actual reality. This is going to take place where I will say to you, says Jesus, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I was in prison and you visited me. And on and on and on it goes. And then the Son of God himself, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, King of kings and Lord of lords, himself, he says, in so many words, he takes these things personally. It's that big a deal to God, all right? Jesus says, whatever you have done for one of the least of these, you actually, for real, literally did that for me, says Jesus. And I'm emphasizing that because there's been some strange teaching around that passage, and I'm not going to unpack that in detail. I just want to emphasize, when Jesus said that, this is not a metaphor. You with me? This is not poetry. This is the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's saying, I'm telling you, friends, from heaven's perspective, from the witness cloud, all of the angels of heaven, right to my Father's throne, this is reality. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you actually did that for me. And there's so much we could say about that passage, but I need to just to move on. But by the way, does that sound like worship to anyone? Does it sound like a life of worship outside the walls of this beautiful sanctuary? Yeah. Whatever you did, you actually did that for me, Jesus is saying. And then there's a very sobering warning. On the other side of it, and the Lord would say to me, Jay, you also need to know whatever you didn't do that you could have. Well, you didn't do that for me. We're going to focus on the first part this morning, and I hope that's all right. But I need to tell you about a group of people who qualify as being among the least of these. Again and again and again and again through the scriptures, we see that in the heart of the Father and in his economy, it is such a major thing when you and I do something for someone or someones, if it's a group of people, or maybe you're looking after someone, you're taking care of them with absolutely no profit motive, right? Absolutely no thought in your mind or in your heart, whenever it enters your heart, that you're doing what you're doing for something you're going to get off of that relationship. It's not about that. No, it's the love that the Lord has through you for someone else. Yes? And I would go so far as to say, and this is absolute, this is Bible. Once you have been born again, it actually is the Spirit of God indwelling you, loving someone through you. Amen? It is. And I know that many of you have experienced this. You'll meet someone you've never met before, and all of a sudden you'll be struck with the fact that, oh my goodness, I love this person. What's going on? And in my case, I get to speak in front of sometimes very large groups of people where I don't know anyone. I know a number of you, you know, at least a little bit. Sometimes I'll be in front of a group of people, I don't know a soul. And I'll be sharing with them, and this will happen to me. This is the truth. All of a sudden, I'll just be struck, oh my goodness, I love these people. Like, I'm not that nice. Seriously, I'm not. And the Lord will remind me, Jay, it's all true. Son, I really do indwell you. I'm letting you in on this much, the Lord says. I'm letting you in on this much of how I feel about these people. Isn't that neat? And as I said, I know many of you have experienced this, especially when you meet someone you've never met before. And you think, why do I just have such a compassion and concern for this person? Well, could it be the Lord? I believe the answer is yes. So it's a really big deal. Whatever you've done for one of the least of these, the Lord says, you actually did that for me. There's a sub-gap category of people that qualify as being among the least of these because they can't do anything for you. But in the Gospels, and that's the first four books of the New Testament. So Matthew, the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we call those the Gospels. And in those books of the Bible, and particularly from Jesus himself, there is a group of people that gets even more attention. And I'm not sure if you, I'll give you a hint. I'm here to represent the Ministry of Compassion Canada this morning. Actually, I hope I'm primarily here to represent the Lord, but also some of his friends who work for Compassion Canada. It's kids. It's the children. You may not have noticed this before. Now you will, because I've pointed it out to you. Next time you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you will be struck with just how many times children are mentioned, and particularly by Jesus. It really does seem they get more than their share of airtime. What's this about? Could it be because children figure so prominently in the heart of God? In God's economy, children are up here. No, they can't do anything for you. Children are not going to introduce you to influential people. You know, they're not going to advance your career, add to your bank account. Actually, they're going to drain your bank account. That's their calling, and they fulfill it so well. But they really can't do anything for you. As soon as I mentioned that, the Lord brought some scriptures to mind. Many of you, I know, I realize that. They're all flashing through your mind. There's so many scriptures, aren't there? You know, let the little children come to me. Forbid them not. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are just like these little kids. And to adults, Jesus says, you can't even get in. You can't even enter. It doesn't matter. In this instance, regardless of how sophisticated you may think you are, it doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name. You cannot even enter my kingdom, says Jesus, unless you humble yourself and become like a little child in your heart. Isn't that something? Okay, we have to move right along. Let's look at Matthew 18, and we're going to start with verse 10. This is one of those passages where Jesus, again, is talking about these little children, little kids. Actually, even before verse 10, I want to mention verse 5, only because of what I already mentioned about the least of these from Matthew 25. Remember what Jesus said? Whatever you have done for one of the least of these, you actually did that for me. Well, look what he says in Matthew 18, verse 5. He says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name, what does it say? Literally, actually, for real, welcomes me. Isn't that amazing? This is Jesus speaking. And just based on that verse alone, all of a sudden, children's ministry takes on huge import. Yes? Yes, it does. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name actually welcomes me. Okay, go down to verse 10, and I've got to move right along with this. This is a command. Verse 10 is actually in the imperative tense, which means this is not a suggestion from Jesus. This is not a helpful hint. Right? This is a command to his disciples. How many here are disciples of Jesus? Followers of Jesus, me too. Okay, so he's speaking to us, and he says this. It's a very strange command. He says this. He says, see to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. One of the translations is even, borderline harsh. It's far stronger than this. It says, see to it that you don't despise any of these little ones. Does anyone else have the same reaction that I would have, at least at a first reading of this? Think, well, Lord, I like kids. Kids are okay. You know, I don't think I despise kids. I don't think I would look down on children. Two things about this that I believe the Lord would say to us in 2019. Even in 2019. The first thing, though, to emphasize is that the Lord is not specifically talking about your kids. I'm not making a joke. I'm serious. All right? And that's because of the Lord, the way that the Lord has wired you. You are created in the image of God. So if there's any health whatsoever, I'm not going to go there, but you tend to love your children to an exorbitant degree, yes? Which is why over the years, they're at the top of your prayer list. They can bring such huge joy to your life and also heartache and pain. And why? It's because you love them so much, yes? The Lord isn't specifically talking about your children or your grandchildren or great-grandchildren if you're at that stage of life, or even your friends' kids, all right? He's talking about children around the planet, children in general. And this is what I wanted to get to. I believe that the Lord would say to us, even in 2019, certainly to me, say, Jay, again, as sophisticated as you may think you are in 2019, most of the planet right now does not hold children in very high esteem. And that's actually an understatement. In many parts of the world at this moment, children are so terribly exploited, and in some cases, abused. They have no power. And so the evil within men will look at these individuals and these children. If there's no profit to be had, well, then they're worthless. That's the reality, even today. But the Lord says this, don't look down on little children. And then the King of Kings, who doesn't need to explain anything to me or to you, because he's the King. Amen? This is our master. And yet so many times, as is the case here in Matthew 18, he gives us a command, and then he explains why he gave it, even though he doesn't need to. But in this case, the explanation for the command, it seems really strange as well. He says, so don't look down on little kids. Okay, all right. But then he says, and here's why. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What a strange thing to say. And this verse, I confess, it is shrouded in mystery. There's a lot that can be said about what Jesus just says here. So I'm just going to zero in, laser beam in on where there's no conjecture, okay? There's no inference from Jesus. He's saying this, a number of things he's saying, I believe, but what's certainly, there's no controversy about. He's saying, look, heaven has invested everything in these kids, right? Regardless of where they live in the world, whom their parents are, their socioeconomic background, doesn't make any difference. Heaven has invested everything in these children to the point that they have actually been assigned created heavenly beings that are as real as you are, as real as I am. Elsewhere in Scripture, they're called the elect angels or the holy angels. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. Amen, amen, amen. And the Lord is saying, look, these angels around little children who can't do anything for you, these angels constantly see the face of my Father in the fullness of his glory. You don't yet. But the angels who are around these little children, they do. They're in the presence of the fullness of my Father's glory on a regular basis. Bottom line is, there's more going on when it comes to children than we can see with our natural eyes. There is that which is sacred about little children in the heart of the Father. Amen? And also, the Lord would say, you also need to recognize that from the point of view of being careful when it comes to children. In fact, the first 10 verses of this chapter, 9 of them, are a very sobering warning about harming children or leading them into sin. You do not do that. This is not legalism. This is just the Lord saying, this is my heart. This is how it is. This is not just the legal and judicial system in Canada. No, this is the heart of the Father. You do not harm children. You do not lead them into sin, Jesus says, or without severe, severe penalty. I've got to move on from there. So I just want to point out that Jesus has not changed the subject, all right? So he says, don't look down on little children. Their angels in heaven constantly see the face of my Father in heaven. And then he says this. He's still talking about little kids. Yes, he is. When he says this, he says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off in the same way. So here Jesus is saying, I'm going to let you in on a little bit more of my Father's heart, your Father's heart. He says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How many here have heard of D.L. Moody? Recognize the name D.L. Moody? Quite a number of. I have a list of heroes. He's one of them for sure. D.L. Moody was just a great, great man of God. He was a great evangelist who lived in the 1800s. And he died in 1899. So he is with the Lord. He is in heaven right now. And we're going to meet him. I love that. We really will meet him and talk with him. But I want to tell you just one thing about his life. This one man, all right, in the 1800s, so obviously this is way before the media we have now, way before the travel we have now, this one man personally led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just let that percolate for a moment. One man did that. Or rather, the Lord did it through him. Yeah? Isn't that amazing? And we're going to meet them in heaven. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people who were led to faith in Jesus through the ministry of D.L. Moody. And yet, and this is why I brought it up, so I'm mentioning him, as an old man, before the Lord took him home, he made this statement. Looking back on his life, he says, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Let me try this side over here. If I could relive my life, so says a man who's led thousands and thousands and thousands to Jesus. Most of us would agree that's a fruitful life. Yeah? That's supernatural fruit. That's John 15. That comes from being connected to the vine in deep intimacy with the Lord. Right? Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And that would have been D.L. Moody's testimony. This is what I got to be in on, what God was doing. Yes? Okay? This is something the Lord did that I was invited to be a part of. Thousands of people. And yet he says, if I could do it again, I would devote my entire ministry, 100%, to reaching children for God. Isn't that wild? You see, he had seen, D.L. Moody had seen over and over and over again the incredible impact that it has on families and communities and ultimately on nations, and that is not an exaggeration, when children come to know the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. A very, very wise man of God years ago told me, and you may have heard this, he said, Jay, when a child is born again, God does not give that child a junior Holy Spirit. A lot of implications to that statement. All the ones I can think of, they're all true. The main truth is, though, when a child is born again, they really are born again. They really are. They've entered into an eternal relationship with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, amen, amen. It's my honor, all of that to say, it is my honor to be here this morning. And as I said, to be representing, hopefully, I hope I'm representing the Lord well, but also some of his friends, the Ministry of Compassion Canada. And I'm not an employee of Compassion, so I can say whatever I want about them. But in my opinion, they are doing what D.L. Moody said he wished he would have done. Right? Just absolutely pouring their lives out. I'm talking about in the field, wherever they minister around the planet, pouring their lives out for the children. But friends, when you see what the Lord is doing through this, it is absolutely breathtaking. And so in our remaining time this morning, I want to share a little bit about that. There, of all the things that I could tell you about their ministry, there are really two distinctives that I felt strongly I was to emphasize today. And the first is by far the most important thing that I could ever tell you about their ministry, and that's this. Their absolute commitment to evangelism and discipleship. That is number one. All right? So yes, I suppose you could say they're an aid organization because they do minister to the physical needs of these children. Yes, they do. But they have a calling. Now, this is this organization. There's lots of great ones. But this particular organization, first and foremost, they are called from the Lord to evangelism and discipleship. And just to put this in perspective, I sure hope you saw the pictures of the children waiting to be sponsored on the table out here in the foyer. Did anyone see them? I hope you did. And as you know here, those are pictures of children who really are at this moment waiting to be sponsored. Friends, just based on the statistics, all right? So this is just purely based on the numbers of what's been happening through this ministry all around the world. Right up until this moment, right now, I can tell you with absolute confidence that the vast, vast majority of those kids whose pictures are on those tables or that table right now, once they are sponsored, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, come on. This is missions. This is missions. Think about this. Think about the implications of what I just said. This is the truth. Lord, shake me with the truth. the vast majority of those children, I'm going to see them in heaven. For real. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. How many here know that the paradise of God is real, by the way? Yes, Jesus said to the thief on the cross beside him, today, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. It's real. And many of us have family members that are there now, and we really will be reunited with them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, that was the big thing I wanted to share, was that commitment to evangelism and discipleship, and that these children, are the vast majority of them, will come to know the Lord. But the second distinctive, and as Pastor Barry said, I was actually a senior pastor for 9 years. And so I get really jazzed, really excited about this. If you don't, that's okay. But it's their commitment to the local church. And when you see this in the field, it's stunning. And the way that I usually describe this, because Compassion only works through the local church, and that's part of their calling as well, all right? If you can imagine with me a struggling pastor in a developing nation, and he's got hopes and dreams for his community, he wants to see God move there. He wants to see lots of people come to know Jesus, same as you do here in Markham. Only in his case, maybe he can barely provide for his own family. Well, that pastor partners with Compassion, and within just a few years, his church is now 3 times the size that it was. This is the truth, okay? I still have trouble getting my head around this, and they keep saying to me, Jay, that's actually about average. In some cases, it's far more than that. Within 3, maybe 4 years, 300% growth of a local church. But listen to this. That's conversion growth. Have you ever heard of anything like this? That's from people coming to know Jesus, not people coming from out of town or moving or coming from a different church. That could be great. That's not what's going on. No, this is brand new believers in the Lord, and churches are exploding with new believers. See, what's happening is most of the children are coming to know Jesus, and then not always, don't get me wrong, not always, but in so many instances, the whole family comes to know the Lord. And it's just so amazing. It's breathtaking. And Sandy and I have seen this firsthand. My wife Sandy, some of you know her. Bob Schantz was her dad. Bob's in heaven right now. Some of you remember Bob Schantz, especially from Mishawa. But we went to visit one of our sponsored kids in the Dominican Republic, and his name's Jordani. And I think we have a picture or two of Jordani. There he is. And I have so many Jordani stories I don't have time to tell you. I'll just say that Jordani has come to know the Lord, but we got to go with him. And with a translator and a photographer and a videographer, we went back to his home, and we met mom and dad. And Sandy and I had the amazing privilege of praying with mommy and daddy for them to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Isn't God good? I need to emphasize something. This was not persuading someone. This was not, there was nothing difficult or hard. This was more like I walked under a tree and a piece of fruit fell in my hand. Honestly, Sandy and I both thought of Lydia after this event. We both thought of Lydia, and some of you remember Lydia. In Acts 16, there's this woman, and it says that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive Paul's message so that she could believe. Isn't that neat? That's what happened here. See, the Lord had opened the hearts of these dear, dear people long before Jay and Sandy showed up. I led them through some scriptures. We prayed through some scriptures about believing and confession and repentance and receiving. But this was, I really believe, the Lord wanted us there so we could see what's going on with our own eyes all over the planet. And so now not just Jordani, whose picture we have on the fridge, and his sisters, but now mommy and daddy have become a brother and sister in the Lord. And they've started into a journey of being disciples of Jesus Christ. And they're being discipled at their local church. Isn't that amazing? I love this. I love this so much. Back to the hypothetical pastor that I mentioned in the struggling pastor who's now, his church is now 3 times the size that it was, right? He is now held in very high esteem in his community. And he's also, his church is the place that people go when they're in need. It's the go-to place because everybody knows you go over there, those people, they love you over there. Unconditionally. But his church has also become the go-to place for all of these adults who are coming to the church, coming to the pastor, and saying, I don't know what happened to my child who's in your program, but they've changed in a really good way. We're happy about it, But I also don't know what it is that you have. But I know I desperately need it too. What must I do to be saved? Isn't that amazing? I love it. I love it. Well, they've sent along a video. We're going to show it this time if we can. It's about 2.5 hours long. So I hope you're really comfy. It's about 3.5 minutes, okay? And then I'll continue.
Slum was very, very difficult for me, really living hand to mouth, because if my mom went to look for employment or even wash other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with a dollar, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If you wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. But Compassion, I opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as a young girl, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm also thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God-sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your grade card is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage.
Here they are.
It was life-changing just to see those two people who'd sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one little girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
Today I am here as proof that indeed compassion releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. My children will never live in poverty. My children will know the word of God. And when I look at the packets at the compassion booth, my heart is broken, because 17 years ago, my face was in that packet.
Wow, wow, wow. So good. Some of you remember Mother Teresa. One of her famous quotes, she said, "If you can't feed 100 kids, feed one." I think she was speaking to human nature. She was speaking to me, for sure, because there is this tendency sometimes to be so overwhelmed with the size of the need that it's very easy for, I know for myself, to feel like, you know, I'm just one person. What can I do? I don't even keep track of the terrible statistics anymore. You know, how many thousands of children perished yesterday from malnutrition and preventable diseases. Some of you here may be far better versed than I. I don't really go there very often, and it's because I don't want to get frozen in place and be overwhelmed, because the need is so, so huge. Because here's the thing, equally as true as the very, very sobering statistics is that in this sanctuary, right now, at this very moment, I know there are a number of you who are being instrumental in seeing lives completely transformed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know this because you're involved in so many different ministries, but one of the things that a number of you are involved in at this moment is you're sponsoring children. And I part of the reason I'm here, I'm convinced, is to say thank you. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. You are having an immense impact. So well done. I'm a fan. You rock. That's musician language. It's immense. It's a huge, huge, huge impact that you're having. So well done. I worked it out. I'm not great at math, but I did work it out. It's $41 a month to sponsor a child, and that works out to $1.36 per day. It's actually a lot less than that if you pay income tax. Anybody here pay income tax? I'll get to that just as quickly as I can, but for our purposes, even if it's, you know, $1.36, what's a medium double-double from Tim Hortons? Most parts of the country, it's about $1.70 or $1.80, something like that, for my coffee. I mean, come on. You know, $1.36 to sponsor this child. One of the favorite verses for Sandy and myself is Jeremiah 29:11. Anybody know that one? It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. We have a good Father." Amen, amen, amen. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And we're seeing that fulfilled in the lives of our sponsored kids. And it's right before our eyes in the letters we get from them, and we find out what's going on in their lives. Isn't the Lord amazing? $1.36 a day. Well, Starbucks is infinitely more than that, isn't it? Here's a thought, though. I just had an epiphany moment, Pastor Barry. If you regularly buy your coffee from Starbucks, you should consider sponsoring a village. Okay, got to hurry up and wrap this up. My wife, Sandy, we went to get our taxes done, and we had been sponsoring kids for years and years and years, and I never even thought to ask this before. And I'm not on this channel, but my wife is, and if she were here, she'd say, be sure to mention it, because some people think this way. At the time, we were sponsoring four children. There's a reason I'm telling you that. I'm just grateful that we can, okay? The Lord has been good, and we're well taken care of. So we go to the accountant, and it occurred to me to ask, what would be the difference in my tax refund if we were not sponsoring these four kids? Shrink the story, okay? The bottom line, friends, all these years, I never even knew this. I have not been spending $1.36 per day for each of these kids we sponsor. In my case, it's more like 70 cents. Did you know that? I didn't. Years and years and years, I never knew that. 70 cents. I pay 51%, I get 49% back. To say it another way, for me to sponsor two kids costs about the same as I thought I'd been putting out all these years to sponsor one. There's a word from the Lord for somebody. So right in the accountant's office, and I don't know if she knows the Lord or not, but I just blurted it right out. As soon as she told us this, I said, oh my goodness, we got to sponsor some more kids. And so we did. We got a few more right out of the gate. But friends, one of them was Jordani. Isn't the Lord amazing? Jordani, who now his whole family have come to know Jesus. Yay, God. I love it. Sandy and I have four kids of our own. I have to, before we go, I got to tell you about them because I'm so proud of them and I love them. And my son-in-law is Tim, who pastors the Plattsville Evangelical Missionary Church. But our kids, at last count, I haven't talked to them about it in a while, but at last count, our kids were up to eight more children that they're sponsoring. Isn't that neat? These are young adults starting their families. And if you were to ask them, why do you do that? Why do you sponsor children? They'd answer the same way I would. They'd say, why would I not? Seriously? The Lord has been so good. This is such a little thing, and yet it so represents the heart of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, my King. So for us, this is an act of worship. It really is. It's actually a discipleship issue. Because following Jesus, not just related to this, but following Jesus at all is not a hobby. Wow, it got quiet in here. Are we still friends? It's the greatest adventure ever, is what it is. It's what you and I were created for. The best version of this guy, regardless, pick a topic, the best version of me by far is the one that's continually saying, yes, Lord Jesus. Yes, you are good. You are faithful. You are trustworthy. Amen, amen, amen. So my kids are always praying the same way that Sandy and I are. Lord, how many more? How many more this year? And I'm gonna wrap it up pretty much with this, just to say that it was pointed out to me. This long after I had been a pastor, I didn't know this, but it had been pointed out correctly to me that there are more than 2,000 references in the Old and New Testament. True story. More than 2,000 references to God's heart for the poor and justice issues in the Bible. Did you know that? The reason I mention it is because I'm so grateful, but I do get to go all over Canada all the time. I was in Vancouver last weekend. That's sort of typical. I'm on airplanes a lot. But I get to meet with so many people and so many churches. And after sharing about this ministry at events or church services, I'll often have people come to me and say, Jay, I need to pray about this. I need to pray about sponsoring a child. And you know what my response is? Great. Wonderful. Because almost everything I can think of, it's a really good idea to take it to the Lord. Yes? Right? Unless I'm being goofy. And I don't want to be misunderstood, because there are a lot of really good reasons to pray about this and about the whole topic. There genuinely are. And I was serious. For Sandy and me, it's usually, Lord, how many more this year? But if by that, I need to pray about this. If by that I'm saying, I need to ask God if it's his will for me to take a tiny part of my resources to help minister to the poor and tell them about Jesus, what do I think he's going to say? Right? Especially when he's already given his opinion more than 2,000 times. And I would add to that, and I can't remember, this is just my lack of experience, but I can't remember ever in my entire life crying out to God and saying, oh God, oh Lord, is it your will for me to buy this cup of coffee as I go through the drive-thru today? Not trying to be mean, friends. I really want to be a blessing here and encourage you, but I hope I'm giving perspective. You may have picked up on the fact I really like coffee, including Starbucks. So for me, that speaks volumes. So listen, if you don't sponsor kids yet, that's okay, and I mean it. God bless you. But you can take care of that today. So please don't run off after the service. I know there's a very, very important meeting. We're not in a hurry to leave, so there will be people out at the table. As long as it takes, it's fine. But please don't run off. Would you go to the table and choose your child? And they'll sign you up. They've made it so easy, and you don't even need to have any money with you today. If you can start the sponsorship right away, it's better, and they want me to encourage that, so we don't put it off. So I've got some CDs, if anybody still listens to CDs. If you start a sponsorship, would you take a CD? And that's just to say thank you. If you sponsor 10 kids, take 10 CDs. And I'm absolutely serious, and you wouldn't be anywhere near the first person to do that. If you already sponsor children, thank you, thank you, thank you. It would be extremely difficult for me to overstate the impact you're having. It really is that big a deal, so well done. But here's the challenge. Would you consider another one? Or more if you can, you know, but at least take home a kid you didn't come with today. Surprise your friends. Pastor Barry, I think I'm finally finished. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share, and God bless you. Hope to see you at the tables after the service.